11-2298, Keaton versus Morningstar. So, good afternoon, Mr. Andre. I can finally say good afternoon.
And good afternoon to everyone else as well. May it please the court, counsel. This is a case that really I've never quite seen before, although I've been around a while. But in this case, when we sought to respond to summary judgment and filed a motion for leave to file and stanter a response, the judge determined that we weren't going to have any argument on it, we weren't going to come to court on it, because it was moot. Even though the motion to file the response had been filed before a decision had been made on summary judgment.
But 25 minutes before, Mr. Andre. 25 minutes.
Well, obviously, I didn't know that.
Well, but
I mean, the point is,
we're late.
Of course I was late. I was.
She had given you every opportunity. Look, let me just say this right off the bat. Mm-hmm. If we adopt your premise that a court must accept late filings so long as the case is still pending, what control would a court ever have over its own docket? In your case, the court had already gone to the trouble of drafting an opinion mm-hmm. that was issued minutes after you attempted your very late filing. Truly, are courts supposed to just waste resources by throwing away draft opinions when a litigant finally decides to file a response?
Well, that's an interesting argument, but that's not what the court argued. What the court argued was it was moot. I obviously didn't know that.
Of course it was moot, because she had already ruled.
But she hadn't ruled, and that's the point.
She didn't write that elaborate opinion in 23 minutes.
I understand that. The point, though, is
it was in the process.
But there was nothing in the court file that I could see that tells me that she's filed an opinion and therefore I have to respond in a different way.
In a court the size of the Northern District of Illinois, it takes a while for one thing to get to where it goes to get to be docketed and so forth. But
I grant all of that, but it doesn't
make
the case
moot. But you had already been given... You'd already been given two elaborate extensions, and I believe the judge contacted your office or had your office contacted and said, are you going to do anything on this? And the response was yes, within so many days, and those days ran. And
we
still
explained,
didn't.
You know, and ultimately the health issues resolved. She have found out that, in fact, I had a fractured arm from cancer that I'm still even being treated for. So it wasn't a situation where I could predict, you know, what was going to take place. The difficulty I have with the language of the court is not the arguments you all are making here, because
we're
if
not
the
making
judge,
arguments,
well,
we're stating
or the
facts.
Points that you're making here, the point, you know, because if those were raised, then at least we get to argue. This was a situation where the court just simply said it was moot. It was not moot.
Yes, it was.
It was not moot. It was a situation where I had filed, and then a ruling came down. Now, if the judge wanted to say, well, look, thank you for attempting to file. We're going to deny your motion for leave to file and stanter. That's not what the judge said. The judge did not say, I'm going to exercise my discretion and deny you the ability to file the motion or to file the response. The judge says, we're not going to even have an argument on this issue because it is moot. And therefore, there was no argument made whatsoever that my untimeliness was not acceptable, that something bad was or improper was being said on my part. Nothing like that. The only thing that was being said was moot. Moot meaning that a ruling had already taken place. I grant you, obviously, that the judge had reasoned out how she was going to rule on the case.
She had written her opinion.
But it wasn't on file. I couldn't see it, obviously. And so I couldn't respond to it. The only thing I have in a record is the motion for summary judgment and the timetable that had been set. There had been no ruling saying that this has already been decided when I filed my motion or my responses and my motion. I, too, had been working on what I had filed. I didn't prepare it in 23 minutes either, nor could I have the ability to pre-see that the judge was going to file an order the very same day that I filed my motion.
Did you ask for an extension of time in any way?
When
you knew you were past your deadline?
I really, at this point, I was under emergency treatment. I was going back and forth to the hospital. I wasn't in a position
By yourself, is that the case?
That's correct. And I wasn't in a position to be able to detail out when I'm going to be able to do this that specifically. I filed as soon as it was possible for me to file, but that's not my quarrel. My quarrel is not that the judge doesn't have the ability to tell me too bad. That's not my problem. My problem is that what the judge did was the judge said, we're not even going to hear you to try to explain what took place.
You were contacted when the response was already late, right?
Yes.
And were told, didn't you respond to that by saying going to have it filed by thus and so date?
I said that I would try to get it filed as soon as possible.
And you didn't point out that it was impossible for you to get it filed?
No, because later on I had to go to the emergency room of the hospital. I wasn't a situation that I could control. There wasn't something where I just had
point. Reconsideration from Judge St. Eve with an affidavit from the hospital?
No. She indicated that it was moot.
Lateness of any brief?
No, I've had this condition. In fact, fortunately now, you know, they've diagnosed what it is. It is a cancer. I am being in treatment. I'm going through radiation, going through chemotherapy, and still am going through chemotherapy, and I'm feeling better.
And you have our sympathy for that.
And I'm saying that.
But in other cases, before your illness and so forth, hadn't you accumulated a history of lateness?
All these had to do with illnesses I suffered or family members suffered over the last 4 or 5 years. We just figured out this year that what was going on was cancer. I had never had a diagnosis of cancer prior to that. And so now I'm in a position where it's actually being treated. But again, my point is, if in fact the judge says, I am going to deny your motion because of the fact that I don't think it's valid, I could accept that. I could ask for reconsideration. What the judge said here was it's moot, that it's already been decided. That's what moot means. And that's the difficulty I have with the decision by the court not to even consider. More importantly, even if you look at the case from the standpoint of what was submitted in the fact statements that were made by the defendant, it's very clear that my client was the lowest paid person, even though she was the most experienced, that she, in fact, was penalized because in discovery she submitted documents that she is required to research and produced those, and in the course of litigation was called in for investigation and subject to penalty.
She still got a raise and she still has a job.
No, she actually doesn't have a job at this point.
The point is that, you know, even if you go to the merits of this, there were evaluations made, et cetera. There doesn't seem to be anything that's race discriminatory. It's all about performance and balance, and she wasn't, she didn't get as big a raise as someone else did. That's what she's right.
Well, but that's an adverse action.
You know, there's this back and forth between her and the other employee. What's that have to do with race?
What it has to do with race is the fact that she's the only black claims examiner there.
So
she's the only.
Right?
I'm sorry?
There are three people to do that.
There were three people who did that.
There's two white, one black.
Correct. And she had the most seniority and the most experience. and they admitted that they had no standards that they judged, that they used to determine who got the salary increases and who didn't. So even if you ignore the responses that we filed and you look at it from the standpoint of what was submitted by the defendant, summary judgment was not appropriate here. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Zanzi?
May it please the Court, my name is Abizer Zanzi, and I represent Morningstar, the appellee in this matter. First, I want to, regarding the leave to grant the extension in Stanter, just very briefly, I think this panel has addressed this, but this is an abuse of discretion standard, and exactly as this panel has pointed out, it's a matter of whether or not the court is allowed to enforce its deadlines, and I think the record is pretty clear on that. And regarding the question of mootness, we also addressed this in our brief, that plaintiff is misconstruing the word mootness here. So I won't belabor that point, but suffice to say that I think it's pretty clear the plaintiff has waived any opportunity to set forth any evidence in this case. Now, going to the merits, a couple of corrections I want to make. First of all, plaintiff was not the lowest paid employee. This whole lawsuit started when she found out that she was paid $2,000 less than one of her white coworkers and $3,000 more than another one of her white coworkers. And she contends that she was, and in her deposition, she takes issue with the fact that one of her white coworkers was paid more than her, and she says that was because of her race. And going to the merits of this case, Your Honor, defendant has put forth testimony that Morningstar establishes base salary based on market conditions. They are this was well documented in the case law that that's a legitimate non-discriminatory reason for setting a base salary. It was it's through negotiations. It's based on certain factors like who's available at the time, what are their salary demands, what are their prior salary history. In her deposition, she does not contend that she challenges the salary increases that occurred later on, but even then, those are related to performance and very clearly documented and unrebutted in this case, Your Honor. So for those reasons, summary judgment was entirely appropriate. Going to the retaliation claim, this notion that somehow she was suffered some sort of penalty for producing documents in this case, again, this is the whole genesis of this case. She found out during her job duties is to do some email surveillance of her assigned investment advisor subsidiary. She typed in her name, Doris, and came across some emails where she found out that she had been paid less, as well as some attorney-client privilege documents. Morningstar did an investigation, found that she had made an error in judgment, but did not penalize her in any way and gave her the benefit of the doubt that it was an innocent error in judgment. So she has not suffered any adverse action, and there is no colorable retaliation claim in this case, Your Honor. If you don't have any other questions, we just ask that the court affirm the district court's granting summary judgment. Thank you.
How much time does Mr. Andre have?
With regard to the issue of the salary differential, it was the court, in the court's opinion, that made the statement that said that plaintiff's white coworkers, of all of them, she received the lowest salary increase. So there was more to it than just market forces that were working at the time. With regard to the other matters in terms of retaliation, we'll stand on our brief on those matters.
Mr. Andre, thank you. Thank you. And be well.
Thank you.